Well, what's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here, Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Wednesday morning. The Packers set to hit the practice field later this afternoon to start preparations to take on the Indianapolis Colts, a game that will undoubtedly be a tough one on the road, an environment which, you know, weather being neutral, you hope the Packers arrive ready for. But this is a really good Colts team, and I think they're going to give the Packers all they can handle. Still early in the week. We'll see what shakes out health-wise for the Packers. Very interested to see if Jaire Alexander is out on the practice field this afternoon, along with Kevin King. Regardless of where the Packers stand health-wise, and I know they did just get Alan Lazard back, this is a Colts team that could whoop up on them. Like, they could make it embarrassing, almost, if the Packers don't arrive with their P's and Q's in order. So, we'll see how the week shakes out. Good to see everybody in the comment section, including someone saying they're going to be in India on Sunday. Good for you. Go represent the G, Spencer. That's what I'm talking about. Carry the G. We need our defense to not be soft. Jazzy boy, die hard fishing. You could not be more correct. Nags, yeah. Can you not just talk about it and stuff? Thoughts. That's good, Evan. I like it. Hey, speaking of and stuff, we get Sean Menenga tomorrow, so be ready. It's your birthday today, Ken Dog Sports Talk. What's up? Happy birthday. I'm sure Mama Sports Talk is out there somewhere wishing her baby a happy birthday as well. Yo, I love the Packers. Mindy, me too. It's amazing. What took you so long? You're going to be all right. Need Aaron to play in rhythm. 1,000%. It's interesting. That first month of the season, that was all the talk, all the rage. Aaron Rodgers playing in the confines of the offense, playing in the rhythm of the offense. That has noticeably disappeared. Hey, Nags, do you think the whole practice squad stuff for this year may stick? Travis, I do think there's a chance. We'll see what happens at the end of the season, into the offseason, when the PA and the NFL get together and talk. Who knows what'll happen with the pandemic? Maybe the pandemic's still raging in 2021 and they keep those rules in place just because they have to. Shout out to all those people who don't want to wear a mask and keep going out and congregating in groups larger than 10 all the time. You can keep it up, baby, and we'll be in pandemic fever forever. Lots of fun. I could go for a little Bryce Pop. So could the Packers. Josh, thanks for the super chat. What's it going to take to get this show pushed to an hour long? A sponsor? How's that? Actually, I was talking to someone prior to the pandemic falling down upon us, so maybe that'll happen next year. We'll see. We got a lizard to feed. Let's go. Yes, they do. I love Lazard coming back. Come on now. I saw a stat where our D is number 10. Well, it depends on what stat you're looking at. If they finish, quote, better than last year, does that save Pettin? Not necessarily, Daniel. Aaron Nagler plus Talking Packers plus coffee equals morning. Thanks for all you do, dude. I rarely miss it. Thanks, Corey. Thanks for checking in. I want to use Super Chat. I can't find how to belong to the website. Mike, you got to use YouTube. YouTube is where the super chats reside and get posted here on the old triple chat, because I'm monitoring comments from Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. But YouTube is where you go to utilize the super chat feature. Ticket King, if they make it back, we'll see. They pretty much shut down operations for the football season once the pandemic started. Might be talking to them next year, though. We'll see. Nagler, I need a reminder to not leave my hunger on the sidelines. I'll bet you do. And Mike Spofford is here for you. He will definitely get you up for it. Do you feel the same as Andy Herman about only person on D overachieving is A? I'm not sure who A is. But I do think you mentioned that on my Let's Talk Football with Andy Herman on Monday. If you haven't checked that out, be sure to do so. It's here on the YouTube page. It's also available on the podcast feed. But look, I spent all offseason. I'm kind of a similar mind in the sense that I spent all offseason talking about the fact that for this defense to improve, they needed young guys, developmental guys to develop, especially the guys they took early on in the draft 2 years ago, whether it's Rashawn Gary or Darnell Savage. So far, that has not really come to fruition, although we did see both of them play pretty darn well Sunday against the Jaguars. They definitely need to step up for the remainder of the season. Given the fact that Gutekunst didn't make any big splash moves in the offseason, the improvement, if there was going to be any, had to come from within. And so far, that hasn't really materialized. Now, they have gotten some good play from Chandon Sullivan, guys who maybe had bit roles before who have grown into larger roles. So there is some promise there, but they absolutely need Rashawn Gary, A, to continue to develop, but B, get on the field more. I mentioned that yesterday. I'm going to continue to mention it probably throughout the rest of the year. Preston Smith is kind of stealing snaps away from Gary at this point, given their relative outputs and what they've put on tape throughout this season. You got to give it to Amos, though. He seems to have a pep in his step in his finishing tackles. I think Amos is one of the few guys who's actually come to play this year. You know, you can quibble about his athleticism or maybe a lack of sideline to sideline ability in that deep center field position. But for the most part, he is the one guy who seems to bring it every week, is in position, is doing a really good job with his eyes, not taking false steps, and generally is playing at a pretty damn high level. He's not going to be ever mistaken for a game changer, a guy who's maybe, you know, one of those, you know, guys that defensive coordinators have to account for on every play. But he is absolutely playing solid, solid football. Philip, thank you for the super chat. Is King coming back soon, and should he be re-signed? No idea, and probably not. Those are my answers to those two questions. Thank you for the support. What should we expect the offensive game plan to look like against this number one defense? Trevor, here's how I suspect it's going to play out. The Packers are going to try and run the ball early. They're not going to have a very good time doing it. The defense is going to give up points, and the Packers are going to get behind, and then they're going to scramble and try to make things happen through the air. They're not going to be able to, and it's going to get ugly. That's where I land right now, Wednesday, looking at this game. Now, maybe things change throughout the week. I change my mind. Maybe something happens as far as developments along the health of either team. But, man, I have a hard time thinking that Phillip Rivers is going to have any trouble against Mike Pettine after he treated him like a stepchild last year. You know, he walks to the line of scrimmage, surveys the defense. Oh, this is what you're in? Okay, I'll make some slight adjustments, and away I go. We saw a down in and down out last year out in California. I don't know that a dome is going to make any difference in Indianapolis. Yes, it's a different offense. He certainly has the pieces to work with on offense. Then you flip it around, and the offense that LaFleur is putting together the last couple weeks has been pretty staid, been pretty predictable. Defenses certainly seem to have a beat on the Packers now. Getting Lazard back certainly helps. But, man, I want to see some creativity. I want to see, you know, staying ahead of the sticks, but not necessarily having to run into a wall every first down. Just a little mixing it up. But so far, I've seen precious little of it. And as we mentioned earlier, Aaron Rodgers not playing within the rhythm of the offense, the confines of the offense, the way he was earlier in the season. If all that magically snaps into place, then yeah, I think they've got a pretty good shot to win this game. But I need to see it on the field because I've seen precious little of it the last few weeks. People texting me during live. We need a statement win. This would be one. If the Packers pull it out in Indianapolis, that would be a statement win. It would certainly go a long way to stopping people talk about the fact that they can't win against quality teams, which, you know, those keyboards are just revved up right now, waiting for Sunday so they can say, I told you so, on the old twit machine. Stephen, my boss told me to stop watching Cheesehead TV or I'll lose my job. I said, someone's got to carry the G around here. That's what I'm talking about. Big Cheese, thanks for the super chat. Any update on Alexander and King? Nothing yet, Big Cheese. We'll get our first look at the injury report later this afternoon. Practice will be in a couple hours, and we'll start to probably get reports via the old Twitter.com about who is attending, who is participating, who is, you know, on the practice field, and who is off to the side and or in rehab. So I would check back in a couple hours, and we'll start to get an idea of where Jair and King are for the week. Blitz the statue QB. Well, Ward, you would think so, but not necessarily that easy when he knows where his outlets are. He knows how to adjust hot routes and knows how to get the ball out of his hands. If you blitz him and play 10 yards off, well, it's pretty easy to complete passes in that regard. And I've seen absolutely nothing from Mike Pettine to suggest that anything's going to change. Maybe he surprises me, but I just think this is a game where Phillip Rivers is going to make Mike Pettine look stupid. Hope I'm wrong. It would be nice if we had a no-huddle offense. I don't understand why we don't have one yet in the second year of the system. Justin, they just don't want it. I can only ask that question so many times. I think I've asked it four or five of LaFleur, at least twice of Rodgers. They keep talking about it as though they're going to maybe get to it, but they seem to relish the idea of being able to walk up to the line of scrimmage, survey the landscape. If you saw a watch party this past Sunday, they had a sequence where they ran a play and then they got up to the line of scrimmage real quick. And Corey and I almost fell out of our chairs because, oh my gosh, here we go. Hurry up offense. There's 20 seconds left on the play clock. And then Rodgers proceeded to let the play clock go down and look at the defense, make adjustments, blah, blah, blah. And then they snapped it with like 2 seconds left. They're never, ever, ever going to have a hurry up offense. Not this combination. If they were going to, they would have done it by now. Josh, thanks for the super chat. Seems like we've been moving away from motion across the formation as the season goes on. I'd like to see us get back to more of that on Sunday. Josh, I totally disagree. I think they've utilized it quite a bit at the start of games. They do tend to get away from it as the game rolls on, but that's no different than it's been all year. Obviously, this past week, Irvin got hurt, so that probably played a little bit into it. But, you know, I asked Matt about it on Transplants a couple weeks ago. You know, other than the Minnesota game, week one, and a little bit in Houston, they've always come out with a lot of motion, basically via the script or, you know, their prepared kind of sequences early on in games. But then as the game goes on, they just kind of lose it. They rarely get back to it. So, I mean, I would love if they were, you know, utilizing it throughout. We'll see what Irvin's status is this week. Popeye's Beef, thanks to the super chat. Did you think the players were visibly healthier after the mini bye? Did you think the players were visibly healthier? I don't know what that means. Visibly healthier. I mean, they're on the field. They got to play. They got to be healthy, as healthy as possible. Everyone in the injury rate in the NFL is 100%. If you're on the field, you're between the white lines, you're going to be judged accordingly. I don't know. Visibly healthier? I don't know what that means. Week 4, Tonyan has been talked as the next Kittle. Since then, he's been very quiet. Any particular reason? Well, he hasn't been the focus of the offense. I mean, that's been pretty clear. You know, you can only do so much if you're not in the game plan, so to speak. And it's very clear that when Davante Adams is on the field, he is going to be the focal point of the passing game. Remember, Tonyan had that big game because Davante was out. If Adams were to miss more time, I think he'd probably be more involved and get more targets. But they clearly want to run everything through Adams. And as long as he's on the field, I don't see anybody else being able to have big games other than maybe MVS when he hits some big, deep shots because they're rolling to Adams. Can Kamal be a difference maker going forward? Absolutely, if he's allowed to be on the field. Only 13 snaps on Sunday against the Jaguars. We'll see. I'd put him in there over Kirksey right now. Get him those snaps. Get him ready. Get him seasoned. Yeah, he'll probably make some mistakes, but I'd rather let him make those mistakes and, you know, live with that, along with having his athleticism, his physicality, and, you know, explosiveness, playmaking ability. Just the sheer kind of force of will you see in the run game, arriving with the ball carrier is in a bad mood rather than being taken for a ride. I am all for getting that kid on the field. On paper, Lazard, MVS, Adams could route the Colts. Brandy, I'm not so sure I agree with your police work there. I think they can move the ball. I don't think there's any question there. But do not underestimate this Colts defense. They are really fucking good. I'm not saying they won't move the ball or score points. I think they will intermittently, but nothing is going to come easy on Sunday. Do you think Green Bay is built like Indy with Manning, build a lead to take the runaway and rush the passer? Bryson, 1,000% yes. No question. A nuclear family, thank you for the super chat. Isn't motion used to figure out how the defense will play us? Would that explain why it's only used in the beginning of games? I see us winning this. I mean, that is one of the reasons, yes. It is also an ability to get eyes in the wrong spot, get defenders to take false steps. I mean, there's lots of reasons that you utilize it. But as we've said, it happens infrequently as the game goes on, and I think it could be utilized more. Nathan, thank you for the super chat. The healthiest team going into the playoffs will win. You don't want to run much hurry up if a ton of your scheme is pre-snap movement. Well, that is very true. However, when pre-snap isn't being utilized or pre-snap motion isn't being utilized, there's little reason. But I very much agree there. Green Bay is not anywhere near built like Indy. Well, not this Indy, but Indy with Manning. The idea of getting ahead on offense, not having a very stout run defense, but being able to get off to the quarterback is 1,000% how they're built. Keep up. Colts are going to dial up the pressure on Rodgers, and that doesn't bode well. I very much agree. You're going to need some pressure beaters. And so far, the Packers haven't really shown an ability to do so. They utilized some good stuff against the Saints, although the Saints were pretty good in some instances. Obviously, we all saw the debacle down in Tampa. We'll see what happens, you know, Sunday when the Colts start to get after it. Does this game have a chance to get out of control early? Yes. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. Why is the offense struggling in the climate? That used to be our strength. Dustin, here's the thing. I don't think they're struggling with the cold. The wind is a major issue. The wind is a problem and has been for both the Minnesota game and the Jaguars game because it has really short-circuited what they want to do in the passing game. And some people will poo-poo it. Rodgers himself mentioned how some of those balls that you saw that were off target, the one to Tonyan on the opening drive, he was trying to throw it straight and it curved on him by about 7 yards. You know, that tells you how crazy the wind was. They haven't been able to run the ball in either of those games. So that has really caused major problems. But I think that more than the cold or rain or snow has really kind of short-circuited them on offense. Stanley, thank you for the super chat. Do you think this is King's last year? It's a good chance. Yes. Is the wind an issue because of no fans? No, it's just windy. It's just when you got 40 mile per hour gusts, it doesn't matter if there are fans or not. Will Lazard have a bigger effect on the pass game or the run game? I think the pass game, just simply because if you look at the tape from especially this past Sunday, the guys who were in there, whether it was Malik Taylor or Winfrey, who they brought up off the practice squad, they did a pretty damn good job in the run game. Their run blocking was actually pretty on point. I do think the passing game probably hasn't been as explosive and or had as many things available because Rodgers isn't going to probably throw to those guys on a dare most times. But I do think, the run game, I think the perimeter stuff was surprisingly good. To me, where they ran into trouble on Sunday against the Jaguars was the interior guys, whether it was Jenkins, Lindsley, or Patrick, getting up to that second level after the initial double team on a lot of their zone stuff. There were just too many bodies. They were packed, you know, they're naturally packed in there because of the type of defense that they play. And, you know, they just had trouble getting off that initial block. You saw a couple of times where Lindsley usually makes that initial block and then gets up and seals off the inside backer. You know, Jack is too fast and he just got to the spot too quick. And I think we're going to see much more of the same Sunday against the Colts. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. I was at the Packers Chargers game last year and I still have nightmares of Rivers dinking and dunking all over our defense. Get ready for it. Again, part two coming up on Sunday. And that's why I keep saying they are going to, our Rivers is going to make Pettine look stupid. Unless something drastically different happens from Pettine, which I don't see. Cameron, thank you for the super chat. For all the times I've said we need a speedy wide receiver, it sure looks like we've missed Lazard, who's like the slowest guy out there. But you're right. I think they have missed Lazard. I don't think there's any question. And it's going to be fun watching him get thrown back into the mix. Kevin, thank you for the super chat. Let's hope Lucas Oil Stadium doesn't have piped in wind. That's phenomenal. I love it. Salient point by you there, Kevin. All right, guys, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking some Packers with me. Be back right here on the channels at 5 p.m. Eastern for the return of Packer Transplants Live in its regularly scheduled program time, 5 p.m. Eastern on a Wednesday. That's right. Corey and I will be back talking Packers, Jaguars game, looking ahead to the Colts game, talking some blogosphere. It's going to be a lot of fun. Please hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day.